Thanks to Lori. Got to talk to her more than once about her novel and how I read some of it and getting her thoughts. There's a lot of good press clips out there on YouTube with Lori being interviewed for this novel, which I enjoyed. And thanks to Jen Leiby, who helped a lot in my thinking and developing for this day. Frederick. Oh, Frederick. He gets lots of pushback from the other field mice for not helping in the gathering of the wheat and the nuts and the corn. But this adorable mouse just sits. He is gathering the sun. In the story by Leo Leoni, the beauty is that Frederick knows his authentic self is an artist. We don't have the backstory. We don't know how or where Frederick developed this intuitive wisdom. We don't know about his childhood. But Frederick knows he can make the world a better place by putting together colors and words, even when the other field mice are slow to buy into the concept. Quaker writer Parker Palmer guides lots of my thinking on the concept of authentic self. Palmer says, "The deepest vocational question is not, what should I do with my life? It's more elementary and demanding," he says. "The better questions are, who am I? And what is my nature?" Frederick answered, he is a poet. But for many of us, it's not always that simple. Balance is the spiritual theme of the month, and it can be tough being your true self while balancing that out with societal demands and the context of reality. Let's be honest, being your true self can be pretty darn tough. How about if someone you love very much, let's say a dear friend, is in a committed relationship that you view as unhealthy? You want to be honest about your concern for your friend's well-being, but you also believe in the principle that past a certain point, what your friend does in her relationship is none of your business. So between what may seem like opposing goals, you struggle to find a balance point where you can be your true self. Let's say your work supervisor too often handles himself in ways that are not productive or at times are even disrespectful. You have a commitment to being a reliable professional employee, and you're not sure your boss can handle constructive feedback. You don't really want to risk appearing a troublemaker or a whistleblower. These are among many examples when it may not be wise to openly speak what your true, most authentic self believes. Quite often, we benefit from taking a step back and asking why we're not showing more of our authentic thoughts and feelings. Are we holding back in order to show respect in a helpful manner, or to stop a cycle of negativity? Or are we holding back as a way of self-serving, people-pleasing, or taking the easy way out? We should take care to not slide too far down a slippery slope. If we go off track from ourselves too far, we risk getting lost. If we go astray too often, we risk not finding our way back. Who are you? What is your nature? Finding and living answers to these simple questions can at times be confounding within the context of our real lives. And Lori's novel, Substitute Me, brings nuanced and compelling characters who try to answer and live out the questions. Now, especially using this novel in worship, Lori and I want to clarify that This is a story that has adult content and serious events that can be upsetting to the reader. Real stuff happens. Tough, nobody's perfect. So I just want to lift that up. Zora wears fresh colors. She pulls back her gorgeous braided hair. At 30, people often think she's younger. As an African-American from the Midwest, it's not uncommon for people to guess that Zora is from the Caribbean. There are a lot of fascinating, excellent exploration of what it's like to live in a multicultural society in the novel. Throughout the book, Zora is on her spiritual journey, which is tough and beautiful, hurtful and rewarding. Walking down the street, Zora hustles to catch the bus, which will bring her to the handsome brownstone where she's applying to be a nanny. And she's painfully aware that her parents would not be happy with this situation. Actually, she keeps the entire chapter of her life a secret from her parents and her brother. Zora's parents worked hard to move up into successful white-collar careers in Ann Arbor. They were upset when, after 3 good years of studying at the University of Michigan, Zora went to Paris to study, and there she decided that life itself is the university. She came back and said, "Mom and Dad, life itself is the university." And she never went back to school or finished her degree. Second guessing and pressure from her family are important background for understanding why Zora uses the mantra, "I am a good person. I am a good person." When she does get the nanny job, Zora worries that thousands of slaves are rolling in their graves, and that it might appear that she is taking the race backward 300 years by working as a domestic for white people. That's heavy stuff. The Quakers have a saying, "Way will open," like the way, the path. Way will open. When a person is looking to find her path in life, she can quietly listen and discern for direction on which way to go. However, Parker Palmer tells in his book, Let Your Life Speak, of a woman who taught him an important additional lesson. She said, "I'm a birthright Quaker, and in 60-plus years of living, way has never opened in front of me. But a lot of way has closed behind me." And she taught Parker it's important to pay attention when way closes, when the path closes. In other words, it's important to pay attention to limitations or closing doors as much as it is to open doors to authentic self or embracing your gifts. Zora realized that way was closing for her in academia. She could not think of any jobs that required a bachelor's degree that would allow Zora to be Zora. And in the story, she clarifies that she loves making ginger chicken stew with carrots and potatoes. She loves making a great marinara sauce with the best fresh ingredients from the market. She loves cooking. And even with that heavy historical context, she loves taking care of kids, and she's great at it. She loves reading good novels and the feel of a foreign language like French rolling off her tongue. So the question is, what will she do with Zora? She experiments in a very important way with opening her own catering business. Lifestyles by Zora. One Boyfriend Suggested is the name. Kate is the white mother who ran the advertisement in the paper, "Substitute Me," in a search for a nanny who loves kids. The litmus was you had to love kids. She found Zora. Kate worked hard through school, and then in her up the way, the public relations corporate ladder in Manhattan. When Kate had a baby, she prioritized spending time with her newborn Oliver by stretching her maternity leave to 6 months, which was the longest time allowed in her firm. Now, in the novel, Kate returns to work where she leads one of the major client accounts. When she gets back, she declares to herself that she will not make the same mistake as her coworker, Elizabeth, who leaves the office every night at 5 p.m. in order to catch the train north to have dinner in person with her family. People snicker behind Elizabeth's back, and Kate will not become her. She dresses in heels and power suits and will work the long hours it takes to reestablish herself in the hierarchy. And when the boss gives a vote of confidence by putting Kate in charge of a huge fundraiser event for a Gold Star client, Kate actually relishes the long hours of battle that it takes to get it done with style and perfection. And she says, you know what, I just really like this stuff. I know I should want to be home being a mommy, but I like doing this and I'm good at it. So she's trying to balance out her points of true self, back and forth between expectations of motherhood and marriage and successful executive. Kate's husband, Brad, is a Unitarian from Mount Airy, Philadelphia. Now, Lori, where did you come up with that? Brad is a Wall Street investor. He's good at it, but he does not want to be owned by his job. And Brad decides to explore a bit of fun in a video gaming industry where he secretly meets to work on a startup project as the finance guy. Brad intuits correctly that his wife, Kate, will see the side business as more of young boy foolishness, so he hides this from her. Zora's friend Angel is a painter, an artist like Frederick. Angel lived in Italy, but now is back home for a time in the States where she's working as a nanny in order to save up more money to go back to Italy and paint again. And Angel is probably the character who clearly knows her authentic self the best from start to finish. Here we are, living our lives. We're not living a novel, although sometimes it feels like that. We're living a reality. And in striking a balance of being our true selves, many of us have what I call laughing Buddha lists. Laughing Buddha lists. We try to accomplish many things in our lives. Usually we cannot achieve all of them at the same time. So I picture the Buddha laughing with love and care at our human attempts, which often have us twisted up in knots. You have your own laughing Buddha list, but here's a couple that some of the lists that I see in our people. In work lives, on one hand, we try to be personable and conversational, and on the other hand, we attempt for professional demeanor. Be yourself and perform professionally. In friendships, on one hand, we try to share stories and open up our lived experiences with others. On the other hand, we try to be humble and know it's not all about us. We try to be open to new friendships and deepening older friendships. And we have been burned before. And we don't want to naively open ourselves up for more hurt. In many activities at home or in volunteerism or at work, on one hand, we commit to excellence in the things we do, and on the other hand, we do not want to get stuck in perfectionism. Will you laugh with me? Laugh with me like the Buddha people. I know you can do it. June. Practice that at home. I believe with all my heart that this congregation is extremely helpful and empowering us to be our authentic selves. Here we remember that although this is inner work and it's often personal, it doesn't always have to be private. Sometimes with care and respect, we can share with each other. In our children's spiritual development, small group ministries, adult spiritual development, worship, we are building beloved community of authentic selfhood, and it's a big deal. And we all benefit from that lifelong journey. And we have to remember also that we can learn from ourselves and listening to our own souls. I look to so many excellent models of compassionate, good people in this community, but I would be stunted in my personal growth without regularly reviewing my day. With gentle kindness, I try to honestly review what I have done to be the most kind or good Kent. And quite often, I know how to fix the problems and grow on the strengths. One of the things I know is I need to be less serious and smile more. I just know that about me. I'll bet you are the same in that you learn from yourself. You learn from you. Keep doing that. With this practice, we live out the truth of the May Sarton poem that says, "Now you become yourself." That's what she said. And when you become yourself, reality makes you fierce for compassion. The people in your life may not have the same laughing Buddha list as you, but they have their own laughing Buddha list. They feel torn between needs and wants, dreams and heartbreaks. And when you are your own authentic you, it helps somebody else to be authentic. And together we change the world a little bit at a time, and sometimes the world does need changing. This stuff of being authentic self really matters, and sometimes it's life or death. I want to raise two stories from the region recently of transgender teenagers who decided they were changing from boy to girl or girl to boy. In one case, the youth was supported by family and community. They said, "That's great. We're learning with you, and we love you no matter what." And in another situation, which has been in the press, the teen came out, was rejected by family, rejected by community, pressured, and that teenager took his or her own life. I can't remember the specifics of the case, but it's been in the press, and it's sad. And the point of that is for us to learn and keep growing together as human beings. There's a book coming out right now by a teenage girl named Jazz Jennings, who went from boy to girl, and she says, "One amazing day, everything changed. Mom and Dad took me to a new doctor who asked me lots and lots of questions. Afterward, the doctor spoke with my parents, and I heard the word transgender for the first time. That night at bedtime, my parents both hugged me and said, 'We understand now. Be who you are. We love you no matter what?' And that made me smile and smile and smile." We have the capacity to make each other smile and tell each other we love each other no matter what. We may not always like each other. We don't have to be 100% perfect. The spiritual way calls us to give 100% of our heart and our mind and our soul to loving neighbor, yourself, spirit of life. When we do, it sure makes space for grace. Blessings be. Amen.